Item number five is an application for rezoning for 336 Ward Avenue under file DAZ 223 of 2011. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing. The following item will be heard at the same time, namely item six, which is an application for variance for the same premise affected under file DAV 161281 of 2011D.
Robin, who is it that you have with you? Is that Carl?
Carl Lepp.
Carl Lepp. And you're at 1540 Taylor Avenue, and Carl, you're at 889 Wall Street?
Yes.
And you guys are together as the applicant?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, tell us what you would like to do here.
Sure.
Maybe we can get this picture down on this one, Mark, just so we're not... Okay, go ahead, Robin.
All right. Our proposal this evening is to construct a three-story high, 60-unit apartment building on this piece of property at St. Mary's in Ward that is currently zoned C2. I believe there are some people here that are going to speak perhaps in opposition, so I'll keep my presentation short. But I just wanted to let the committee know that we have engaged in some community consultation. On October 31st, Carl and I personally delivered letters to residents backing onto this development located on Trowbridge Bay in Bruton Place and notified them of a potential open house that we would hold if we did get some residents interested in doing that.
Before you go any further, Robin, you said 60 units. My report here says 90 units.
There is a mistake in the report that I was going to
write.
It's 60 units, not 90.
Good.
So after speaking to a few of the residents, we invited all the residents that we had initially contacted to an open house on November the 7th at the Mennonite EMC Church just north of Ward Avenue. And approximately 12 residents came, and I thought we had a very good open discussion with good feedback and discussion there. The positive sentiment that I took from that meeting was that this proposed development is definitely an improvement over what had been previously approved, I believe in 2003, as the previous development, I believe, was a three-story condominium that was located much closer to the property lines adjacent to the neighboring residents. We also heard that this building would be a good buffer for some of the residents from that Tim Hortons, which really doesn't have any fencing, landscaping, buffering for people into the that are their backyards face the development. We went on to explain as well that the people that this is going to be a very nice rental building. It's geared towards existing residents of St. Vitale. You know, people that have lived in St. Vitale all their life want to stay in the area. We definitely feel there's a shortage of good rental stock housing in the area, as in many areas in the city. The suites are going to be very well-appointed. Primarily, they're going to be two-bed, two-bathroom suites, in-suite laundry, granite countertops. They're going to command some very, very nice rents. But we're very confident that the demand is there. So that's, I'm going to keep that as the bulk of my presentation to allow people to.
I just want to get a couple of things out of here before other people speak, Robin.
Yeah.
There's no, you've got to go across another property to get access here, so there's a variance. No, so that where, so where's the access? Is it off of St. Mary's or is it off of Ward?
The only access that's going to be for the apartment block is off an existing approach off Ward that...
But it's on the other title.
That's right. There's going to be a cross-access agreement put in place between the Tim Hortons property and this property. I guess at
so
one time...
owned by the same party?
They were at one time. They're not going to be with this development. So this owner of the apartment block will be a separate owner as the owner of the Tim Hortons property. But, you know, a legal agreement is going to be put in place to provide a cross-access agreement and pretty standard, you know, legal documentation put in place for that.
Okay. And you've got a bit of room on the north side of the building there, I noticed. Is there parking in there?
Yes, there's parking along. This is a bit of a funny shaped site, so it's a little tough to determine what the true north, you know, and the property line is. But so along Ward Avenue, we have room for some, you know, nice landscape buffer, parking stalls, drive aisle, so that we can get access to the parking stalls in behind the building.
Right. Okay.
We try to keep the development as close as possible to the Tim Hortons. And in order to maximize the parking, you know, to ensure that all the parking necessary for the apartment remains solely on the apartment property.
So, yeah, if you were to go any further, you would require a variance then?
We would require a variance, but really it would, and it would have a really large negative impact on the amount of parking stalls we could put on the site.
Okay. And I thought I read something about, the height of an 8-foot fence.
Well, I was going to get...
That's a condition.
I was going to address that with, sort of in my next point, in dealing with the report received. So, that was a sort of
I'll tell you, just procedurally, Robin, if you've got to talk about it, it's best to talk about it now so that people get a chance to rebut it, to speak to it, because you're not supposed to put new information on the record in rebuttal. So now would be the time.
Definitely. No, I apologize for that. I actually intended to speak about that before I stepped down. So sorry about that. So in the report, there was two things I wanted to comment on about the administrative report. The first thing... pertaining to the ACG report was that they did mention a 10% land dedication. And I'm not sure what the you know economic impact is of that, but we are downzoning the property from
it's a standard clause, Robin. There has to be increase in value in order to get a 10% dedication. So it's only on the increased land value. I don't believe that you will see that. It would be pretty tough to argue that going from a commercial zoning to a residential, unless you were going crazy density, that you could argue an increase.
Okay, so that was the one question
but
I had.
It's a standard clause. And,
okay.
So Kim's not here, but I know we've had this raised before, and it's pretty well zero.
Okay. And then with respect to the variance applications, basically we're in support to what the administrative report is recommending as far as, you know, granting these variances and even denying a few variances. And the denial of our east side yard, that's 1B, is really in keeping with the discussions we had with the area residents that had a concern about two parking stalls being located a little too close to the yard. So we had previously said that we would eliminate those stalls, and so that's in keeping with the discussions we had with them.
Can you show me that just in
Sure.
No, just hold it up there, Robin. I can... Okay, so... Okay, and you guys recommended against allowing it?
Because we want a 10-foot buffer along that yard end now. Which would be right along this line, and this line, a 10-foot setback.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll deal with it as we go through. We'll see what other people say.
And then the other variance, and you brought it up, Councillor Swindell, with respect to this 8-foot-high masonry fence. We actually don't want to put in an 8-foot-high masonry fence. Previous applications to this development, which kind of go back a bunch of years, you know, it was zoned commercial, and there was a commercial approval, and then there was a residential approval, and then back to commercial. And anyway, what we did is we retained some of the old intent within the old approvals, because we thought that maybe what the city would want to see is that, you know, we're trying to maintain some of the old intent of the old approved development agreements. However, I found it comical that, you know, it was denied. So we are basically in keeping with the requirements of any plan approval, and in discussions we've had with the residents, that we think it would be best to provide a 6-foot-high or a 6.5-foot-high masonry fence in the area where, say, any garbage enclosure or any high traffic would be located, to provide that extra buffer, against the neighbors. So that is our new intent. I apologize for that mix-up in the report.
We've got a ways to go here. We've got to listen to residents. You put it on the record. We could deal with it in rebuttal, and we'll see where we're going to end up here. Okay, that's it. That's all. Councillor Vandel, no questions? Anything to add? Carl?
Working with working on behalf of the ownership group, that we're really excited about this project. We think that it's going to add tremendous value to that intersection and to the community. And having met many of the community people, we have a really good understanding of what they're looking for. And, I'm sure we're not going to be able to deliver everything, but we've heard a lot of things about landscaping buffers and their privacy that we're going to try to respect within every measure of the development. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, you gentlemen can stand down. I've got a number of other people here registered on this. Is there anybody else here in support who would like to speak who hasn't filled out one of these forms? No? Hearing none, I will call Gabriela Popescu and Christian in opposition. Would you like to come down and speak, please? You can just be recorded in opposition. Just opposing? Okay. We'll get hopefully some others to speak. Lindsay Pratt, just opposed. Kathy Carpenter, Kathy, I know you'll speak. I said, I know you will speak. Come on down.
Hi,
Kathy. Go ahead. Just for the record, Kathy and I did have a conversation about process the other day, and
right.
I told her we couldn't talk about the particulars of the application,
right,
but just about process.
Okay. Did you want me to state my address?
Sure, that'd be great.
I'm Kathy Carpenter of 56 Trowbridge Bay. And I'd just like to say I wish we'd had a little bit more notice to prepare for this. In a little less than 2 weeks we had to prepare for it. So we had a meeting, as Robin said, with Robin and Carl on Monday, November 7th of last week, and discussed some of the concerns. It's been a little hard. Some of the residents are away. And we also had a meeting with the residents yesterday afternoon. And between the residents that we had at the meeting, we came up with our objections. Okay. So I would like to read that, please.
Okay.
The majority of residents living on Trowbridge Bay and Bruton Place are opposed to having the land located at the southeast corner of Ward and St. Mary's Road rezoned from commercial to residential multifamily use. Most of these residents have lived in their homes since the 1980s. When we purchased our homes, we were aware that the adjacent property was zoned commercial with restrictions regarding height and use of land and made our decision to purchase accordingly. Had the property been zoned residential multifamily use originally, the majority of residents would not have purchased property or homes on Trowbridge Bay and Bruton Place. The construction of a three-story apartment building will adversely affect the residents on Trowbridge Bay and Bruton Place. A summary of the adverse effects is as follows. Loss of privacy, as there will be 30 apartments with balconies facing and looking down into our backyards and windows. Proposed is a high-density dwelling on a small parcel of land located extremely close, only a 25-foot clearance at some points to single-family homes. That was number one. Number two, 90 parking spaces have been identified on the proposed plan, 67 of which will be located at rear and side of building bordering on our backyards. This will definitely, and I believe that is called the side yard there, but that's,
It's a pretty crazy shaped lot. That's hard
to... It is. Yes, I understand that, yes. So it would be at the rear and the side of the building, which is bordering on our backyards. This will definitely have a negative impact due to excessive noise, air pollution, and light pollution from the vehicles and the parking lot lights. There will most definitely be an increase in vehicular traffic on Trowbridge Bay and Bruton Place, as 90 parking spaces will most surely not accommodate all residents of this building and their guests. As there is no parking on Ward or St. Mary's Road, the next closest streets for parking are Trowbridge Bay and Bruton Place, both of which are accessible by nearby walkways. Currently, because of existing front driveways on our streets, many of which are single car width, we will experience a shortage of on-street parking for homeowners and their guests. Number three, the height of the proposed building will have a negative impact on the amount of direct sunlight and the quality of natural light currently enjoyed by residents on our two streets. Since the 1980s, the residents on these streets have made investments and developed their back and front yards for both recreation and horticulture enjoyment. Both of these enjoyments will be adversely affected by the impact of a tall structure. Number four, in consultation with several real estate agents, the general consensus is that property values will not appreciate as expected should this development occur. For the homeowners on Trowbridge Bay and Bruton Place and surrounding area, home ownership is a major investment with expected and anticipated returns. Not only will the construction of a three-story building lower the property values of these residences, there will be fewer potential purchasers interested in this location, hence thinning out the competition and possibility of bidding wars. We do, in summing up, we do understand that change is inevitable and only wish that it could be positive and amenable to all affected. We're not saying no, nothing can go in there, put a park. We're not being unrealistic about it. Obviously, the height is a major concern for us. And we thank you for allowing us to voice our concerns and hope that you will consider them when you make your decision. I understand, in speaking with Robin briefly before I came down to speak, that the variance requesting the distance from 8 feet to 3 feet, that is not being asked for anymore? That's right? Yeah. So that the closest a parking spot would be 8 feet then? Okay.
Just I'll go back at the variance with Robin just to make sure and that we all understand that we're talking about the same thing, because we've got 8-foot fences, 3-foot setbacks, 8-foot this, and there's a number of different variances in here. So we'll get back to that with Robin. One of the dilemmas I have in dealing with these is that you know, change is always troublesome for people. There are certain things that are permitted on this site already. You know, some of the heights and setbacks are already in place. You know, so we want to, you know, try and accommodate residents as best we can, but I also have to respect the fact that there are certain things that are already in place that are very difficult to alter. And I know that the height is one of those things that's already in place. And, you know, we're able, you know, they've sort of put the building and set the parking up, so it's basically, you know, as far away, you know, considering the shape of the lot as it is right now. To maximize the distance from houses, because you can put even if it was residential, you could have 35 feet you know, on that property, and people looking down in the backyards. I think closer. I haven't got the exact distances here to the from the yard to the building. So it's really challenging to deal with it, being that it's allowed. The other pieces were some of the conversation that I had with Robin around the variances, and that's where I'd like to get some further input from you. The masonry fencing, did you understand what was being said, talking about an 8.5-foot masonry fencing, and where do you see that at, and what are your issues with that?
Are you asking me?
Yes, I'm asking
you. I don't know where the masonry fence is going, because we had discussed a masonry fence at our meeting last Monday, and you had said that it would be too expensive.
Yeah, and there's a variance being asked for right now, because there's an old requirement that there be an 8.5, like when it was under commercial zoning, to buffer the residences, an 8.5, which is basically like a jail wall in behind the properties. I just want to make sure that you understand that he's asking for a variance so he doesn't have to do that.
To do that.
Which I think is probably better, but I want to make sure that you as a resident think that that's probably better as well. Would you...
Unfortunately, I can't speak for the residents on that.
No, but just yourself as one of the presenters here, Kathy. What would you like as
myself,
far as...
I would prefer not to have a masonry fence. What I would prefer is a fence where the boards, especially because the parking will be at the end of my backyard, is a fence where the boards are butted directly to each other, so there are no cracks, so that the lights from the parking is not coming through, and perhaps maybe a little higher than 6 feet, maybe 7 feet or 8 feet. It's not something I could make a decision on right on the spur of the moment. I know the way my fence is right now. It's a fence that Qualico put up, which unfortunately is practically falling down, even though we've replaced posts in the past. The lights will definitely be shining through our fences into our yards and our bedrooms from the cars. So if a new fence was erected along the owner's back lots...
You would want it to make sure it's as noise-proof and light-proof as possible.
As possible, right.
And some sort of...
And aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, one of the problems with that is that I get to be the judge of what's aesthetically pleasing when the plan approval comes, and you and I might not share the same... The same architectural and artistic thoughts, but okay. Well, I'll go back at them afterwards on the height of the building. The fencing stuff is something that we'll have to have more conversation about, and other opportunities to buffer. I'm going to try and hammer out of them exactly what that separation will look like.
Okay.
Anything from you, Dan?
May I submit what I just read out to
yes,
you?
Yes, please.
And I have also a letter from Chris Melnick and a petition.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, I have Esperanza Vizara. Vizara, would you like to speak? Opposing? Okay, thank you.
That's Kathy Carpenter. This one here.
And then I have the only other one I think I have here is Rita and Robert Cordinelli. Accordingly?
Yes.
Did you wish to speak, Robert? You have to come down so we can record it. Just maybe state your address when you get down here.
Sure.
I keep forgetting to ask that, and I get in trouble all the time.
Hi, it's Robert Cordingly. I live at 59 Trowbridge, so I'm not on the side of Trowbridge that is directly adjacent to the development. I'm on the other side of Trowbridge. So we didn't have any notification of this, so this is relatively new to us. We just found out about it. My comments are very brief. I guess in real estate, there's three things that determine the value of property. We all know those: location, location, location. When we bought our home in the 80s, we had the opportunity to select lots because there were many empty lots. And so we chose our lot knowing that, or carefully, considering its long-term value. For example, we didn't choose a lot on Burland, where at that time was the only place that Qualico was willing to build the models of homes that we chose. They were, with some persuasion, they agreed to build it on the particular street we're on. So we didn't want to be on Berlin, and frankly, we wouldn't have chosen a lot on the other side of the street against what we knew was going to be commercial development. I guess what we did know was that it was going to be commercial development of a particular height, and there was already a building there. I think the garage station had already been built, and so we could look at that, and we knew what that was going to be like. And our decision was that that wouldn't impact our property, the value, nor the aesthetics of it. And now, so our main concern with the proposal at hand is that we're talking about a three-story building that's fairly close, and so the result is that we look across the street at we're a two-story house. There's a one-story house across the street from us. So this will tower above the one-story house. So out our front window, what we'll see is an apartment block. And, of course, our other concern is the fact that it will affect our property values either. And I would be fairly certain it would, being that close and certainly being within sight. So that's really our main concern. I would say, on the other hand, that, you know, it's important for a community to develop housing for people like me who one day might not want to shovel my own snow but would like to still live in St. Vital. So we understand that. It's really the height and how close it is to everybody that would be our concern.
I just a couple of comment kind of question kind of things.
Sure.
I think your point at the end was very well put. It's a huge challenge that we have with the aging baby boomer demographics that we're dealing with. That there's such a demand for this type of housing, and there really isn't a lot of opportunities to build it. And even when you try any kind of rezoning, no matter how pure the land is, you're always going to get some opposition from adjacent landowners. Just with respect to the height, and this has changed, looking at the history and the report here, several times, I think, since you acquired your lot, but the current permissible height is 40 feet on that property, if I'm reading the report correctly.
Correct.
So we're, right. You know, we're not. That's why I said to Kathy, it's very difficult to knowing that you could put something commercial on there that would go 40 feet, which I think is far more damaging. It is more damaging than what this zoning would allow as far as adjacent property value goes, being close proximity to commercial rather than further residential. That's one of the challenges here today.
Right, and I understand that. The zoning must have originally been, you know, when we moved there, when we, purchased our lot and checked that the zoning must have been limited to the height of the garage station that's currently there.
Yeah, the history, Robert, shows there's been a couple of applications.
Right, yes, there have been, and I know some were approved. And some were approved.
That's where the height went
up. Yeah, and, you know, another, I mean, these are small details, but there was some mention of noise. And to be quite honest with you, for us, again, we're across the street, there's no noise from Tim Hortons. The noise is the beeping street light at the corner. But there might be additional.
By Shell station,
yes. But I guess it raises the issue of, particularly for the people who are close by, but us as well, because, you know, we can hear the noise from the street light. So when you have things like garbage trucks and so on accessing property at different kinds of hours, you know, we don't know what the layout would be in terms of where garbage would be stored and some of those kinds of things as well. But those are small items. The big issue is the height and how close it is to people's property. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate your comments. Okay. Is there anybody else here to speak on this who has not filled out one of these forms and whose name I haven't called, or nobody else on this issue? Hearing none, I will call the applicant back for some further discussion and rebuttal. Robin, you've heard the comments. I think you need to sort of have some conversation with us here about what is being proposed along these properties, what the buffering is, what you want to put in. Like, we don't get to see a final plan until you bring it back for plan approval, which is far away from this part of the process. I want to know from you, and I want it for the record, what it is that you think would be appropriate as far as fencing along there and any landscaping improvements.
Well, what we had spoken about at our open house with the residents is that we're going to, you know, maintain I believe it was the 8-foot landscape setback. I believe the administration has suggested 10 feet, which we are okay with. And at our discussion, we had talked about, you know, since there are the existing property owners have existing wood fences in place, that it would be better for us to spend the money putting more trees, more spruce trees on the site to, you know, to green up the site. And so we did make those commitments at that open house to agree to putting a bunch of spruce trees in, the quantity and size and height being, you know, subjected to the planning approval. But we did suggest that we would want to have trees planted, you know, say starting at a height of 8 feet, so that, you know, we're starting to make an immediate impact. We also spoke that for the row of parking that is facing the existing residences, so along our backside here, that we would and we will install a 3-foot high, you know, light-proof bumper fence along that area. So that would prevent, you know, lights and whatnot from shining through their fence and into their yard. So we thought that would be a good suggestion. And that's really what
the look of it will be 3-foot fence, 10-foot buffering with evergreen trees.
Yeah. I don't have a big board, but the landscape buffer would be along here, which would include a bunch of spruce trees. We'd probably want to intermingle a few other deciduous type trees as well, but we want to have a lot of spruce trees in that area to help, you know, provide a year-round buffer. Then the parking fence I'm talking about would be located just where we're parking, because we only have one single drive aisle here, you know, that cars are coming in, either parking facing the building or facing adjacent properties. So we thought that it would be necessary to put it you know, where people are parking. So
what about at the very corner down at Ward Avenue?
Oh, like sorry, facing the street?
No, no. But
oh, here?
On the back of the properties there, where they've got to drive around, is there any fencing there? Or?
Well, we didn't propose anything there because we thought that the landscape buffer being a 10-foot wide buffer and putting the trees, you know, would be sufficient. But, you know, I'm open to suggestion and, you know, I usually get that during the plan approval, but...
No, I just want to make sure that we've talked about it because I want to look for it in the plan approval, see what you're going to do there. The garbage enclosure, which is usually a thorn of a bone of contention, where is the garbage enclosure for this?
Well, we're proposing to put the garbage enclosure. Do you see there's a sort of a center aisle, sort of a center triangle here, which is where we think the enclosure would be. We don't want to put it up against, you know, we certainly don't want to put it up against any neighboring residents. And I would propose that we build that enclosure out of masonry.
Is there no way to put that on the other side, Robin, where it's on the over towards St. Mary's?
It really makes it very difficult for truck movements and pickup. We're really hamstrung with this property line and this property here. So just in trying to, you know, keep the truck movements efficient, and not having to do, you know, eight-point turns, you know, to access bins. And usually when drivers have to do that, they put the bin wherever they want after and not back in its proper place. So, but we're open to have those discussions with, you know, during the plan approval process.
I'm just looking at, so the east yard variance, the 3 feet instead of 8 feet, that's the trying to move it to accommodate the residents? Can you just show me that on your picture there one more time, just so I'm clear?
The reason for that proposed variance to go to a 3 foot instead of an 8 foot was to accommodate two additional parking stalls on either end of the parking aisleway, and the residents did feel that that was getting a little too close. So we will opt to modify the parking arrangement so that we are in keeping with the requirement.
Okay. So you need 1B in place and 1 and 2A in place to ensure that you can do, you're not stuck with doing the 8-foot masonry fence, right?
Correct.
Okay. Any questions, Councillor? Okay, I've got everything I need, I think. Sure, if you could take the chair, I will make some motions here.
Okay.
On the rezoning.
Report of the public service taken as read.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
Move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor? Contrary, carried.